Hello again and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here with more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Julian Esmo kicks off our preview of this week's stories.
Thanks, Rod. Coming up, we're going to talk with a church planter who is using Kung Fu as a tool to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
I'm John Graham, and he's been a daredevil since age 2, and he's at it again. But first, he's stopping by the Culture Connection. Nick Walenda joins us.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later, we'll hear from a North American missionary who has developed a new resource for churches, helping Christians be on mission for God.
I'm Myrna Brown. He was one of the first praise and worship leaders in this country, but the church wasn't his first audience. The music and testimony of Dr. Ron Canole.
Also today, the testimony of basketball great and church planter Bruce Douglas on our missionary moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. In our first story today, Life with Purpose Radio's Julian Esmo highlights how a pastor took what he knows and uses it to lead people in his community to the new church and to hear the gospel message.
Ron Wiltson is a Mission Service Corps missionary with the North American Mission Board as a church planter and pastor to the Connection Church in Columbia, Pennsylvania. And he's using Kung Fu as a tool to connect and share Christ with others. Ron Wiltson, pastor of the Connection Church, joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, Ron.
How you doing today?
Doing great. Now, the Connection Church started about 4 years ago. Tell us about your church and how the Lord led you to church planting.
We originally started in a kindergarten classroom, just offering free Kung Fu classes. And then 6 months later, people started asking about church services. So we began with just a couple of families. Many people would come in just to learn Kung Fu, but many of them would come to know Christ. And I would never have thought that God would use Kung Fu to start a church, but his ways are higher than our ways.
Mm-hmm. So you're using Kung Fu as a tool to draw people to church and ultimately share Christ with them.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. The classes are no charge. What we do is about halfway through, we have a devotion and we have scripture memory. A lot of the people that we deal with, the clientele, are very poor and poverty. We're in a poverty area where people can't really afford to take these classes. And then for them to get their rank, they not only have to learn the Chinese Kung Fu movements, but they have to memorize scripture also in order to get their rank. As they memorize scripture, many of them will come to know Christ.
Mm-hmm. And now, all along the way, when you're offering the free classes, you're also tying Christianity in the gospel.
Yes. One thing that people do ask me is, how do you tie in Christianity with Kung Fu? Isn't that rather violent and so forth? As I always share, the highest level of martial arts is to be able to not to have to use it. In Chinese Kung Fu, you learn to borrow a person's energy and use it against them. So it's not force on force. You actually have to become very light to the touch. We actually have shirts that say, becoming the nothing, where you have to become very light. Well, in Christianity, Jesus in Philippians 2, 6, 7, and 8, when he went to the cross, the Bible tells us that he literally became the nothing and emptied himself, whereas he could have took himself down off the cross. The Bible says he could have used 12 legions of angels to take him off the cross, but he became the nothing and went to the cross so that we would have eternal life in heaven. Mm-hmm. So we use the verse Philippians 2, 6, 7, and 8. So I like to share with the people that the first part of becoming the nothing is to realize that you're a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
That's right. Now, Ron, you have been a Kung Fu teacher for 25 years. What has it meant to you to see the Lord use your expertise in the martial arts for his glory?
I think that's actually pretty awesome. What points out to me is the Lord saying, it's not your ways, it's my ways. I never would have thought that God would use Chinese martial art, but that he's given me these gifts and the ability to do Chinese Kung Fu from the time I was a young boy, and now he wants me to use it to glorify him.
Mm-hmm. And when you were called into the ministry, you thought you had to walk away from Kung Fu.
Absolutely right. I was ready to give it all away. As a matter of fact, I got rid of my training clothes and was just going to go serve the Lord. But the Lord said to me, no, Ron, I want to use everything I've given you. God wants to use all of us. All of us have some types of gifts and abilities, and God wants to use these gifts to glorify him and reach the lost with the gospel.
Mm-hmm. He has a higher purpose for those gifts and talents.
Absolutely. There's a higher purpose than just using them to be good at it or to make an income from it. The main purpose is to reach the lost that are dying and on their way to hell. God loves people, no matter what it can be. That's the reason that we have them, to glorify Him.
How can we get more information on the Connection Church?
You could go to our website, theconnectiontochrist.org.
This is just so inspiring to hear how the Lord is using your talent in church planting. How can we pray for you?
That God will continue to bring people out, want to learn, and to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We've been speaking with Ron Wiltson, pastor of the Connection Church. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today and reminding us that the Lord wants to use our gifts and talents for His glory.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio. The Coffee Shop That Changed a Church. Discovering the Net Effect by bestselling author Dr. Steve Parr. Entertaining, real, heartwarming, humorous, educational. Solid instruction through the medium of a novel with gripping interest and power. Fun, tender, heart-pumping, and angering at times. A realistic look at 21st century churches offering workable solutions. From Deep River Publishing, online, and everywhere Christian books are sold.
Thank you for listening and being a part of Life with Purpose Radio. Next is the story of a man that takes high risks and a man of high faith. The King of the High Wire, Nick Wallenda, chats with John Graham on today's Culture Connection.
Chances are you were one of 23 million viewers who watched our next guest on June 23rd, 2013, do what had never been done before. He walked across the Grand Canyon on a tight wire. And now this 8-time world record holder is at it again, this time between two skyscrapers in Chicago. Nick Wallenda joins us today. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. My gosh, I was, along with 23 million other people, biting my nails to the nub watching you cross the Grand Canyon about a year ago. It was one of the most incredible things I think I've ever seen. Why did you do it?
You know, I'm carrying on a legacy. My family started performing back in the 1780s. So now for over 200 years and seven generations, we have been performing on wires. I think my great-grandfather said it best when he said, "Life is on the wire, and everything else is just waiting." For our family, this is more life than anything else, and this is what we truly have passion for and love doing.
Okay, now, I have to tell you, as my family was watching it, we started watching that program saying, "This man is nuts. I cannot believe he's doing this. Untethered, obviously no net except the Colorado River underneath you." But as you started walking, every step you were quoting scripture, you were praying, and my faith soared through the roof.
I tell people often that, you know, people say, "How do you stay so calm and cool and at peace when you do this stuff?" And it really is about calling on the name of Jesus. You know, there He is, the Prince of Peace.
I'm sure you've encountered this question. Aren't you testing or tempting fate, as it were?
Absolutely not. I have trained my entire life to do what I do. Never did I say, "God, hold me on this wire." In Mark, when God rebuked the wind and the waves, I do believe that He does completely control the weather, but He gave each and every one of us our own mind, and we make our own decisions on what to do. I choose to use the unique talent that He's blessed me with to bring glory to His name. But in no way do I believe that I test God. I train in the worst-case conditions. For the Grand Canyon, I train consistently with 90-mile-an-hour winds. I train in torrential downpours. I train in the worst conditions on a cable that's rigged the same, that moves the same, so that I know that I'll make it across that wire. Testing God is stepping in the middle of an interstate while it's pouring down rain and telling God, if He's real, that guy's going to see me even though it's the middle of the night and I'm wearing all black and He won't hit me. That's testing God. But again, I believe God's given me a very unique talent, and it's up to me of how, and all of us, of how we use our talents to bring glory to His name.
How did faith get into your life, Nick?
I gave my life to Christ at 4 years old. My parents were Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians as well, and still continue to be to this day. The children's pastor at that time was getting a lot of kickback for leading children to Christ at too young of an age, is what it was said. And I hadn't seen him since I was probably 6 years old, and he came to visit me after the Grand Canyon. And he said, "You know, you you've changed my life. Because I thought that, you know, here I was being condemned in the church for leading children into Christ too young before they understood it. And here you have done something that has touched the world, seen in 220 countries around the world, proclaiming the name of Jesus to people that would normally never hear that name. And all, you know, all of it was attributed to him leading me to Christ at 4 years old.
Wow. Fantastic. Now, your next feat's coming up in just a few days. You're going to be between two skyscrapers in Chicago. What is that going to be like?
You know, it's something that I've wanted to do, something in a very urban setting. I've done, of course, Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon, and wanted to take it to a different area and to more of a large live crowd. So I've decided to go to Chicago in three. I'll start with Marina City West, where I'll be over 500 feet above the ground, walking uphill up a 15-degree incline to the top of the Leo Burnett Building, a distance of about 500 feet. And then I'll actually go back down, cross over, go back up to Marina City West, and I'll walk from one skyscraper to another, a different skyscraper, Marina City East, completely blindfolded. You know, it's often said in Scripture, we walk by faith, not by sight. And as I was reading Scripture, I thought, you know, I wonder if I could walk the wire without my eyes, without my vision. And as I began to practice, it became almost calming. And I realized, hey, I can do this. I've done it in some extreme conditions. I've had everything from down low in practice, my family pushing me around, sneaking up when I don't know they're coming, shaking that wire, doing everything they can to make it the absolute worst case possible on me. And I feel very confident with that.
That's outstanding. I cannot wait. It's going to be on the Discovery Channel, I assume?
Discovery Channel live November 2nd, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for taking this very unusual skill and giving total glory to God. That's what we're all about, life with purpose. Nick Walenda will be on the Discovery Channel November the 2nd. You don't want to miss this next feat of faith in every sense of the word. And until next time, I'm John Graham, bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. We hope that as you listen, they will inspire you to live your life with purpose. Of course, we want to hear from you. You can always email us with your comments about today's program, your feedback, and your story suggestions as well. Our email is stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio and Facebook/LWP Radio. Again, that's LWP Radio for both Facebook and Twitter. And we'd love to hear from you today. And we'd like to give you a free book just for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. It's the hardback edition of Words of Life, a devotional book from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And it's easy to get just by going to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. That's lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. And it's yours absolutely free. Well, let's get back to our stories. Myrna?
Thanks, Rod. He was one of the first praise and worship leaders in this country, but the church wasn't his first audience. You don't want to miss Dr. Ron Canole's music and testimony.
All right, thanks, Myrna. Also ahead, you don't want to miss the story and testimony of basketball great and church planter Bruce Douglas on our Missionary Moment. Right now, though, Ron Lawson is in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for our story of Life on Mission with God.
Thanks, Rod. Living life with purpose means understanding the level of commitment we have as Christians to be on mission for God. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a North American missionary about an exciting new resource to help followers of Christ learn to be on mission in their communities. Let's listen.
I'm happy to be on the phone today with Dustin Willis, who is the coordinator of the SEND Network and the SEND North America Conference through the Southern Baptist North American Mission Board. Dustin, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Dr. White, thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of what you guys are doing.
Dustin, I know that before coming to work at the North American Mission Board, you were a church planter in South Carolina, and now you work to see new churches started all over the nation. You and Aaron Coe, also with the North American Mission Board, have co-authored a book and video series entitled Life on Mission, Joining the Everyday Mission of God. I have to say, that sounds like it's right in line with what we're about here on Life with Purpose Radio. Would you tell our listeners how this project came about?
really 2 years ago, we really wanted to walk alongside local churches as they develop young leaders. And so as they're developing young leaders to be future church planters, team members who are going to go to different cities, different places to help plant churches and be a part of church planting teams. And so out of that birthed this idea of a study based around people understanding why living on mission every day matters. So as we dug in deeper with local churches and pastors, we realized that this needed to really be expanded, that it wouldn't just be for young leaders or interns, but that it really would encompass every person that sits in the seat or sits in the pew. And so pastors were pushing towards this, and our heart as an organization with the North American Mission Board really is to be behind what the local church is doing. And so from that, we ended up developing what is now Life on Mission. If we're going to see a real move across North America, it's going to be because lawyers and stay-at-home moms and FedEx workers and accountants and, you know, the list goes on. That people like that living with gospel intentionality wherever God has placed them is how we're really going to see a movement, whether that's workplace or neighborhood.
Well, I've read that your starting point is that every Christian is called to be on mission, and God is asking us to sacrifice our own vision and mission for our lives to align ourselves with His vision and mission for us. Could you just describe for us the process that you would suggest for doing that?
You know, I think we often jump into doing mission not really understanding why. And so really what we've done in the study is we've laid out that there must be a biblical foundation. What is the purpose of our mission?
Right.
And I think once you dig into the gospel and really see who God is, what God has done for you, that motivates, that pushes. And as you come face to face with a holy God and how graceful He really is towards us, that foundation, I think that brings about great humility that then pushes us to want to live out the mission of God wherever we are. We talk through four simple principles. Identifying those that are around you, investing your life into those that are around you, inviting them. Not just inviting them to a church service, but really inviting them in to a relationship with Jesus and what mm-hmm. that looks like. And so there's a companion piece that goes along with this called the Life Conversation Guide, the three circles that really just is a simple way to share the gospel, even just on a napkin in a conversation. That's part of that identify. So you have identify, invest, invite, and then lastly is increase. And that's the idea of, one, that we would make disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding that God is the one who brings about the increase. Someone plants, someone waters, but only God makes things grow. And so those are really four principles we walk through in the practical side of how do you do this every day. I think the content of this study is adaptable to any context and can function.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can mm-hmm. function well as an individual study, but I think it's going to be best lived out in the environment of a small group study or a Sunday school mm-hmm. that a group of people would come together and study this with one another. There's great accountability there, and the real hope is that we'd be a part of a movement across the churches, across North America, and see entire communities and cities reached. And that's only going to happen when the entirety of the church comes together.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I know that you're aware of people who've caught the vision of God's purpose for their lives and have taken action based on that. I wonder if you could share with us a specific situation where you've seen God at work and what happens when someone truly does align with God's mission for their life.
This is just a story from just this past week. There's a couple that live in Georgia, in Atlanta. Their names are Bert and Rhonda. Bert and Rhonda been walking with the Lord for a few years in their life and just felt like God is calling us to live on mission in our neighborhood. They live in a neighborhood with about 100 homes, and so they've built relationships. They've identified the people around them. They know them. So they just decided, what if we started a group in our home Sunday nights for the people in our neighborhood where we explored the idea of who is God? What is He all about? Is there even a God? Because many people in their neighborhood are obviously asking that question. The culture that we live in, that's a question that is very, very prevalent. And so felt like they were in a place where they could just kind of cast the net out there to them to, hey, would you guys be interested? This past Sunday, they had 38 people show up in their home who were committed for 5 weeks just exploring who God is. And their whole idea is God placed us here for a reason in this neighborhood, and we want to live out mission. And so whatever that means, whatever that looks like, let's go for that.
Would you tell our listeners how they can access this information, Life on Mission, joining the everyday mission of God?
If you go to lifeonmissionbook.com, really we have a suite of resources there. All those resources are at lifeonmissionbook.com.
That's excellent information. Thank you so much, Dustin. I appreciate what you and Aaron have done in co-authoring Life on Mission. And thank you for serving faithfully as a missionary of the North American Mission Board as well. We thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
All right. Thank you, guys.
For more information about the Life on Mission book and video series, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Worship leader, singer-songwriter Ron Canole says his desire is to create an environment for the manifest presence of God. Let's get more of Ron's story as he talks with Myrna Brown, now on Life with Purpose Radio.
His ministry was the anointed spark that ignited explosion, acceptance, expansion, and global invasion of praise and worship throughout the nations like no other in our generation. Okay, who immediately comes to your mind when you hear that quote?
For all the earth had trembled, the sun had hid its face, all the men that walked with him had turned and run away.
Dr. Ron Canole, that's right. And how excited we are to have Dr. Ron Canole on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Myrna. Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Oh, it's our pleasure, really. So, Dr. Canole, who said that about you?
I believe that was my good friend, Dr. Miles Monroe from the Bahamas.
Uh-huh. Does it make you blush?
Make you blush? I guess it does, but I expect him to say something really nice about me, dear, that I've been a close friend of his for over 25 years. And I would do the same for him. I would pump him up, too.
Yeah, but he's doing more than being nice. I mean, he's speaking the truth.
I appreciate that. But back during the 70s, I was not the only one. There was other guys like Don Moen and Marsh Chapman and Chuck Gerrard and people like that who were my contemporaries, even though I didn't know them.
Yeah.
We were all doing something.
Yeah.
That was new and fresh and foreign to the church. In fact, the majority of the churches didn't even accept scripture courses. We were tied to the hymn books,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and here we were coming out with a complete new genre of church music. My beginning was in prison. Now, I wasn't incarcerated, but my brother was incarcerated.
Okay.
This was back in the late 70s, and my wife at that time and my mother had prayed me out of nightclubs. She had prayed me out of nightclubs, and I was making a new start. And I began to write these scripture courses out of my scripture study.
Yeah.
And I wrote these songs, but my church, which was a traditional missionary Baptist church,
mm-hmm.
they didn't want to have anything to do with this new kind of music that I was writing. One of my brothers who had been incarcerated told his chaplain that I could sing when I went up there to visit my brother. And right in front of me, I mean right before my eyes, I saw the Spirit of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Holy Spirit just ascend or descend upon these inmates, these hardcore professional criminals. And they began to break down and cry and rededicate their lives. And some were even born again into the kingdom. And I didn't know that I had a ministry. All I knew was I was just singing these songs that the Father gave me. I made up my mind then. This was in 1978. Whatever this is, I'm going to take it all the way, as far as I can go with it. And that's what I did.
Do you remember what you sang?
Oh, yeah. Songs that I had written.
No.
Songs like Hallelujah, Jesus is Alive.
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Death has lost.
Death has lost.
And the grave.
And the grave.
Jesus lives forever.
We sang that song just two Sundays ago at my church. And so,
is that right?
That's right, sir. I promise you, we did. And so that is the gospel.
Most of your listeners probably don't know. For 8 years, I was out there singing in parks, and in recreation halls and in prison. For those 8 years, if I sang before a group of more than 50 people, that was a big crowd.
But it wasn't about that, was it?
The purpose for praise and worship is to create an environment for our Heavenly Father to manifest His presence. And that's what it's for.
You have ministered and taught and launched the careers of many, many, many worship leaders. And 100 nations is the number that I saw.
Actually, 118 nations.
Uh-oh. Let me write that down. I stand corrected, sir.
Exactly.
That is your mission field, sounds like to me. You have two sons, the Cannoli brothers, and they are worship leaders. You taught them everything you know?
Well, I taught them the first things they learned. Let me put it like that.
It has been such a pleasure to spend this time with you. Wait until I tell the members of my praise team, guess who I talked to today? Thank you so much for your time, sir.
You are so very welcome.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Chicago, Illinois, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
We define success by being popular, by being places that people want to be and doing things that people would like to do. And I had all of those things, no question about it. Being known and talked about in the same sentence with the Magic Johnson and the Creams and the Docs and the Larry Birds, and to be able to watch them play and to be able to play against them. The world sees that. There's nobody that probably wouldn't trade places for me. From where I was sitting, everybody thought, hey, this is the life, and this is the life you'd want to have. And at the height of it, when you realize that it's not all that you thought it would be, it's like being hit in the stomach. God spoke to me so clearly during that emptiness in my life, during that time when I really was trying to measure success. And from the world's view, from a lot of my friends' perspective, I had it, but there was something inside me that said I didn't. The only thing that made me significant was the work that Christ did on the cross for me, that there I could find who I really was. It wasn't a matter of me having to accomplish things. It wasn't a matter of me having to be popular, but it was a matter of me surrendering to realize that God had a perfect plan for me. I wouldn't trade that 1 second for anything this world has to offer. None of those things compare with the privilege it is to preach God's word and to see people enlightened about the things that bring real, real substance to our lives.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, go to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose, as today you heard about the Connection Church, the faith story of Nick Walenda, Life on Mission with God, Juan Cannoli, and church planner Bruce Douglas in Chicago. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.